Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Timken India Q4 FY23 results conference call. This conference may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participants' lines will remain in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mukesh Saraf from Avendus Spark. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah. Thank you, Selvin. Good evening. Mukesh Saraf here from Avendus Spark. Appreciate everybody logging in. I'm very pleased to be hosting Mr. Sanjay Koul, Chairman and Managing Director of Timken India, and Mr. Avishrant Keshava, CFO and Whole-Time Director of Timken India. We'll start with a brief opening remark from Mr. Koul and then follow it up with the Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Mukesh. Thank you everybody for joining the call. As you can see that, there has been a little bit positive changes and the market is still okay domestically, though outside India there are ups and downs. Overall, nothing which is extraordinary worrisome. With that, I would answer the questions directly which would cover most of the points anyways. We can go to the question number one first, please.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Vimal Gohil from Alchemy Capital Management Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yes, Sanjay sir, thank you so much. Thank you for the opportunity for asking you ask questions. Firstly, on the mix, so if you could just help us with the mix for FY23, in terms of railways, auto, distribution, exports and process. Thanks.
Yeah, sure. The mix for the whole year YTD 2022-2023 was rail at 17% and mobile, as we call, mobile we classify anything which is having a wheel, and that was 22%. Distribution was 17%, process was 16%, and export was 28%. That was the distribution between our segments for the 2802 CR.
Understood, sir. Sir, for my next question is on margins. Just wanted to clarify, we have done much better EBITDA margins. I understand we are coming from, you know, transitioning from a very, very high raw material cost period to now slightly normalized versions. Just wanted to understand, in light of the fact that we have done much better margins, how do we see that going forward? Also your outlook on the mix for traded goods, how will that play out?
You know, if you see, the margins have become better than compared to the pre-COVID levels. Obviously our endeavor is that it's a profitable growth. Between pre-COVID and post-COVID, steel prices obviously did their bit and piece of that. That is there still. Hopefully, we all expect it to soften. It softened a bit, but then there is still rumblings that it might go up again. As you can see, last 3, 4, 5 years, we have been relentlessly working on many things and, you know, localization, domestication, whether it is raw material or it is MRO and things like that. The whole idea is to keep on driving cost, quality and delivery. Those are the basic metrics on which we are running. It's simple metrics. We have to keep on driving the cost. We have to obviously, the more we produce, better would be the cost and make sure that, you know, the deliveries get a premium when you are able to deliver fast. That is the endeavor that we remain focused on cost, quality, delivery. Now, steel is always something which is little bit becoming unpredictable. Overall, the industry trends, you know better than me on the alloy steel. Energy costs are also pretty much up if we compare to pre-COVID levels. We make sure that our productivity levels are also in pace with that. As long as the market holds well, you know, volume leverages are important in this game. Overall, we are pretty much satisfied on the targets which we are setting for ourselves.
Right. Sir, what would be our content of localization, which is what portion of our costs are currently localized? Or rather, sorry,
almost, almost all localized. All very special applications. Sometimes we are now using steel from abroad, but we have localized most of the steel grades. Not only localized, we have invested a lot of time, energy, and knowledge in steel companies in India. Many people get benefited by that. As you know that we are importing. We are importing finished bearings into India, which we don't produce here and selling, but at the same time, we are exporting as well. So if we are importing against the currency, we are exporting for the currency. So, you know, that is a great hedge. And you will see always our distribution, our exports, or if you see the trends, our exports have been always more than the distribution. So we have always gained on the overall game of currency, which was part of your earlier question.
Right. And so just one last question. Within exports, what would be our exposure to your Class 8 trucks? Because there seems to be some uncertainty there.
Certainly there is uncertainty, but for us, Europe, America, MENA, China even, so we are exporting everywhere as long as our cost quality delivery is good. These ups and downs obviously hits us. It's not that we are not prone to it, but still we still get a decent check. But generally, we in export, it is 50-50 rail versus the TS is roughly 50-50.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much and wishing you the best. Thank you.
Very much. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sandeep Tulsia from JM Financial. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, very good evening, Sanjay. I hope you're doing well. First question is pertaining to railways. If you could give us an overview of the entire opportunity. One part is on the wagon orders, the 90,000 wagon orders that you said. Even if you get half of it, it would be a big growth driver over the next 2 to 3 years. And the second part is on this entire Vande Bharat opportunity. Many companies have been talking that even we supply to Vande Bharat. Everybody says that this is to Vande Bharat. So if you could highlight what is the opportunity that could come to Timken and how should we look at the competition in that space? That's the first question. Thank you.
Yeah. So, Sandeep, as you know, on the rail side, I was always saying that, you know, the growth is there slow and steady. Now this pace of growth is becoming faster and faster now. As compared to earlier times, more wagons are either getting produced or, you know, the thoughts of putting more rolling stock onto the place. And then the number of, we already newspaper number of Vande Bharat they want to introduce, and then the mass rapid transportation, which is the metro system everywhere, they want to build them. And then India is becoming big for electric locomotives. The electrification of the tracks is gathering huge momentum, and diesel locomotives will slowly vanish, and electrical will run the roost. For more electric locomotives will be built by Alstom and later on by Indian Railways. So I would say that, you know, we are well entrenched. You know, we have a very nice depreciated assets. We have very nice supply chains and place dedicated to tin can, and we are producing all varieties of rail bearings in India and supplying to global railways, not only to Indian Railways. We are supplying to global railways. So I am very much excited that Timken would remain a very strong player in the rail. And if you see, if I take the COVID of 2020 and 21 out, we did 300 crores. Before that, we did 350 crores. This year, close to 480 plus crores. So rail will remain a positive for Timken. It would be tough for anybody to really come to this level where we have invested a lot in automation, robotics, plan for each part. Our rail is being produced in world-class facility. It will take, everybody can do it, but it will take a lot of time and a lot of effort to do that. We have developed railway supply chains within 20 miles of our plant. You know, cost of ring transportation is down, and obviously we are also concerned about environment. So these are milk run, no packaging and things like that. So I am pretty excited. Rail will remain good for Timken India, and also out of Timken India facility to export as well. And the rail market is gathering a pretty decent focus. Now, obviously next year there are elections. Those are out of your and mind control. There could be new government, new change. But if things remain in the same way, I think Indian Railways is going to become a lot better and better and better. The old model of Shalerian coaches would vanish. More Fiat LHB everywhere, and more mass rapid transportation. Now they are thinking, like here where I'm sitting in Electronic City, I also sit on the board of the Electronic City, which is a private municipality, one of its kind in India. And we are looking at mini metros within the Electronic City. And that is going to happen, like you see the light metro in Gurgaon. So apart from the mass metro, you will see these light metros also happening because of the amount of people we have to transport and the focus on not burning too much diesel. These are all electrified. So I am remaining very positive now about railways, and given the depth what we have created in supply chain sea to far, now is the time to, now and next 2-3 years is the time to leverage that to hilt.
I see. That's very elaborate. Thank you. And second question, Sanjay, is on the margins. We see that, of course, margins in the past pre-ABC acquisition was around 15 to 17%. We bumped it up to between 22 to 24% opposed amalgamating their factories. But this year, you know, we've seen margins coming down significantly in second half at the EBITDA level. They are at 17 to 19% again. And we've seen your exports share has also come down significantly from first half to second half. So going forward, if you could share some thoughts on how this mix will evolve, how you're seeing the demand in US driving growth, as well as where do you think these margins should go back? Should they go back to that 22 to 24% range, or these are the new normalized level of margins with RM inflation? Your thoughts on that, please.
So, you know, obviously, the margins are related to mix, and some areas are high margin, some areas are low margin. And whenever the mix changes, it impacts the margin. And exports, certainly, as you have seen, exports are a little bit slow because of the fact that some of the global markets are down. If the U.S. market really goes down in the second half, it certainly would have some impact on us, but at the same time, we are pushing hard for the other markets, not only Europe, but Africa as well, wherever, you know, there is a chance to push more. So, whether the U.S. market will really go down or not, or whether it is only the retail market or U.S. which will go down and engineering will not go down, you know, you guys have a better sense than me. But certainly, the current demand going down is not the end user demand. It is more like safety stocks going down. People react, especially the Americans react very quickly to anytime there are indicators. So currently, exports and customer demand is not going down, but, you know, people are cutting down on inventory and safety stocks and things like that. So while I'm not negative about it, I think we'll find ways to harness the better price markets, which is our endeavor. And then in India also, the markets where we get better margins, we are pretty much on it. So I can't predict the margin, but, you know, you will have to see this game, not quarter by quarter. You will have to see this, you know, a block of 3 years. Look at 3 years before COVID, look at 3 years after COVID. So, you know, that would give you more regression rather than a quarter-to-quarter movement.
Understood. If I have liberty to ask one more question, just your thoughts on future investments. In the past, you highlighted defense and aerospace is an area where, post your spherical roller bearing plant, you may want to step up investments on that front. If you could give us a roadmap, how should we look at it over a 3-year period, 5-year period, 7-year period, how that should end up in getting indigenized? And if you can also share some near-term growth guidance, if you could give for FY24, that would help. That's the last question. Thank you so much.
We have recently announced our investment for the spherical and CRB. So that is a significant investment, and the endeavor is always to look at how do we keep on growing, how do we, you know, bearings all cannot be localized in one country, but if there is a huge wind market exploding in India, and obviously the customers want shorter supply chains, stretch, so then, you know, at that time we would be forced to make investments, or we might be ahead of the game. The other piece really is that Timken Company globally has a lot of M&As which are in the area of belts, chain, coupling, pulleys, etc. And those are exciting areas which we continuously look at how do we create supply chains out of India. We want to make sure that any investment has the necessary return on investment. So I would say that while I can't predict what we are going to have to invest tomorrow, we are looking at everything. The good thing is that, you know, we are looking at everything, and that is because of the fact that there is chance to do more and more out of India, especially when the Timken Company as a major investor in TIL has a lot of technological companies, especially in grease system. Rollon is a fantastic technology company. They have robotics, they have Scania. They got Lovejoy, Diamond, etc. And these are the companies which would be needed more and more to get better global supply chain, best cost countries. Plus, the Indian market certainly would need going forward, you know, world-class products. For example, in defense, you need linear motion now a lot more and more and more as compared to the previous generation. So I think the good news is that we are looking at many, many things, continuously looking at many, many things. And as you know, over the past, we have been careful to invest at the right time, the right, so that we can, you know, get the better return on investment. We are looking at many things, and we are working to see what are the best investments, but we are not making any current decisions. But as usual, we are always looking at it. And India is a place where growth will come, nothing to do with Timken. In general, engineering growths are bound to come. So any company which has the technology and also who are in the game of, you know, investing more and more, will keep on doing that.
Got it. Thank you so much for taking all these questions. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hardik Doshi from White Whale Partners. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thank you for you know, taking the question.
Just continuing on this export side, I think a few years ago, the Timken parent had commented that they were looking to get, maybe reach 50% of revenues from India and then the subsidy coming from export. So just wanted to get maybe a bit of an update on, like, how you're looking at it. Is there any opportunity from, shifting a lot of supply chain shifting from China to India? And then, so are there any investment plans around that as well?
Obviously, for the parent company, India is among the best cost manufacturing sources. The intent is to procure material from countries which are best cost. Now, comparing India and China for Timken is a little bit tricky. In China, they make large bore bearings. They make bearings which are 1 meter SRB, CRBs. In India, we are mostly rail and 0 to 8 inch. Now, with the investment which is coming in the CRB and SRB, that has a very nice potential for exports. So you'll see that exports out of that going, that plant which we are putting, hopefully, that plant will be exporting stuff and also pitching that material to India. And if we have the critical mass, more can be done, hopefully, on that area, depending on how do we carry that momentum. So intent is to source more and more out of India. That intent is clear. We have to increase our product basket, which with the SRB, CRB, you'll see more exports going. And who knows, tomorrow we do something else, then again that would be the case. What we produce in India will be for Indian market and global market both. So that option is an important, and we've been exporting for a long, long time, and we'll continue doing that, and we'll make sure that the Indian customers are also taken care. And if that demands, the critical mass goes up and that demands more investment, so would be the case, which would be judged at that point of time. But directionally, certainly, out of India, we would keep on exporting to the mother plant, and in that kitty, we are a great source.
Okay. I know we've announced this CapEx plan for a new facility on the cylinder rotor bearings. How are we in terms of capacity utilization with regards to the tapered roller bearing? And if the demand were to, let's say, pick up on export, do we have enough capacity to kind of cater to that in India?
See, basically, currently, our Jamshedpur plant and Bharuch plant both are running full. Jamshedpur, we are exporting, some months we are exporting 50%, some months 30%. And in totality, we keep on looking at long-range forecasts, and we keep on looking at the demands. If the demands are more and our capacity is less, then obviously we'll correct that and use the capacity. At the same time, the parent company would look at global capacities also to leverage that. But we are running currently, our both the plants are running pretty much full, and our rail is running pretty much full. And the SRB, CRB plant, as we look at the demand and as we look at everything, would be also off to a very nice start.
So, I mean, just a follow-up on that. I mean, if our plant for tapered roller bearing is running pretty much full, why are we focusing at CapEx on SRB, CRB, which are new markets? Shouldn't we be kind of expanding this capacity given railway, given export potential, etc.?
So SRB, CRB is not a new market. We are importing and selling in India, and now we'll manufacture in India and sell in India and also export, given the fact that India will offer a great supply chain, a great cost advantage, and also top quality. So, and then, obviously we want to risk mitigate. If we just concentrate on 1 0 to 8 inch, the truck market goes down or off-highway goes down, then you are down and out. So we want to make sure that we cater to the fragmented markets. We want to cater to rail. We want to cater to the trucks, to the tractors, off-highway. We want to cater to the stationary machinery. And also there are some market which are more commoditized. There are some market where you can get more value. And that is why we want to concentrate on CRB, SRB. And at the same time, if we need, currently we don't see the need to expand 0 to 8 inch. If we feel the need to expand it, And if the business case 100%, we'll do that.
Okay, great. Just one last question. In terms of the new CapEx and the new plant, are we on track? When will the capacity come on board for us?
Yeah, as we speak, we have already done the foundation laying ceremony. We have the approvals from the local government to start the construction. The machine ordering across most, almost all the equipment is coming from very developed state-of-the-art countries on the machine tools, so they are all placed, money is flowing to them. So we are on track, and hopefully we remain on track. You know, just building the four walls is the one part of it, is the important part, but getting all the assets at the right time, running them off, and creating the back-end supply chain. So we've got teams working concurrently on all, teams sitting here, teams sitting in Bharuch. So they are all working on that. So we should be hopeful to deliver the inauguration in time, and hopefully we invite you guys as well for the inauguration.
Okay. When would that be?
So that would be somewhere close to end of next year.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Who wants to go to Bharuch in May? We have to choose a colder month.
Alright.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mahesh from LIC Mutual Funds. Please go ahead.
Sir, my questions have been answered. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. We shall take the next question. The next question is from the line of Shirom Kapoor from Prabhudas Leeladhar. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. I just want to understand, you mentioned that you're almost completely localized in your steel raw material procurement, but in terms of, you know, the various bearing components like your cages and, seals and those various bearing components, what is your localization level there, and what's your outlook on that?
Yeah. So the raw material which is steel for the inners and outers for Jamshedpur and Bharuch, that is all localized in India. Rail application almost all steel localized in India, and there are certain alloy grades which are continuously working to localize, and then we continuously work on material sciences. So we work with IITs and work with these companies to start on this whether it is green steel or bitter steel. So that is one part of it, but they are all localized. So coming to your question on cages, we are on the 0 to 8 inch and rail, we are almost localized. There would be some high speed rail where we are importing, but the effort is already on to localize. Harsha is one of the major gauge guys for the industry in India. So cages are localized. Rollers some of you did go to Jamshedpur recently, and they had the chance to look at our roller localization. So we are, by and large, localized on most of the components, which was not the case some years back.
Understood. Thanks. And in terms of your outsourcing of, a lot of the bearing companies globally, including Timken, make a lot of the components in-house, right, for bearings. But what would be your level of, outsourcing that and focusing purely on the value addition and bearings? How much, if you could quantify that for us?
So, same as the bearing industry, steel is always outsourced, forging is outsourced, green turning is outsourced, heat treat is a combination. Timken has been one of the pioneering companies which was the first to develop the local cages in India, which others followed later, and we were one of the first companies which started state-of-art sourcing of heat treatment. The application is your product technology, intricate grinding, and those aspects of assembly design remains always in-house. Steel making, forging, turning, and wherever we have the combination of heat-treat, we have those in place. And we are a little bit ahead of this game in supply chain than the rest of the gang in India. And what is core to us remains inside, and rest most of it is outsourced. And generally we have greater relationship. For example, cages, as I said, we were the pioneers to start with this particular company. And then obviously on forging extra, technologies have changed. Robotics have stepped in. All our suppliers are using those technologies. And they are also one step ahead in the game in terms of using solar farms to bring their costs down and things like that. So we are pretty much balanced on this, balanced and risk mitigated on the supply chain.
Understood. That's very helpful. And just a couple of bookkeeping questions. Could you provide the split in revenues for region-wise, across India, USA, and rest of the world, as you typically do in the annual report?
No, we don't do break it up like that. But the exports, which we call intercompany, this year was 798 crore. Process was 445. Distribution was 470-ish. Mobile was 608, and rail was 481 and 482. So that is the general breakup. But we don't give the breakup region-wise. We have not been doing that.
Okay, so the previous breakup you gave was for FY23, right? Not Q4?
That's right.
Okay.
22-23, yeah.
Thanks for my question. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Alok Ranjan from 361 AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. So just one question from my side. How is our portfolio positioned towards wind segment? As there are expectations of increased bidding scenario on the wind side by renewable energy implementation agency, that's what we have seen, that around 10 gigawatt of bidding will be there. I understand that the market has not done well post the peak that was there in 2008-09. But now since we are hearing in terms of the increased intensity, how is our portfolio position on that side, and how is the offering different in onshore versus offshore? So you can comment on that.
There was a little bit of voice break, but if I could understand your question is about the more windmills being installed in India, and whether it is offshore or onshore, windmill does not change. What changes is that whether it is a gearbox-driven windmill or it is a direct drive. So that is the general difference. So direct drive will have a master bearing on the direct shaft, which will be pretty big. And if it is gearbox-driven, then it will have multiple bearings because it will be stage 1, stage 2, stage 3, like that. India per se, if you see, in the Indian market of wind was always sub-megawatt. We had 250, 500 kilowatt kind of stuff. Now India is, waking up to the fact that we might use more offshore, because the wind tunnel onshore is not pretty strong. So offshore wind is pretty strong, especially in the Bay of Bengal side, it is very, very strong. And also, if you got a lot of windmills outside, it is great for security of the nation as well at times, etc. So that is there. But currently the wind market for bearing companies in India is actually the gearboxes which are getting exported out. So that is more important currently. And as India starts installing more and more windmills in India, that would be obviously an added advantage. So Timken Company globally, and including TI, does not make wind bearings, but we have another company in India called Terry, which makes wind bearings in Chennai, which we sell to Timken India, and they in turn sell it to the customers, and we are selling it globally, and we import wind bearings also from our other locations in Romania, and also that is TIL imports from Romania and China and sells to the wind customers who make the gearboxes. So I would, if you ask me, next couple of years it would be more gearboxes made in India getting exported which is going to be which is going to be more important for the bearing companies. And I would say that in next 2 to 3 years time, India would start installing more offshore, and we have heard the news and seen the this, but you know, it needs a lot of background work to do. I would say 2 to 3 years it would start putting more offshore. Onshore there would be some, but it won't be much. It would be more offshore because it is augmenting, you know, if you see the Kutch Gujarat belt, if they put more offshore, it will help a lot on national security as well. So that is being seen in combination. I would say that give it 2-3 years, it would gather momentum, though we see, you know, a lot is being in the discussion, but I would still say 2 to 3 years. But at the same time, gearboxes for windmills made in India but by many multinationals is going to increase a lot, which is China plus one and cost and delivery out of these plants in India. And it's a tough game. Cost is important, so people will design, strong design, because warranty costs are very, very high. You cannot afford warranty costs. So Timken is lucky to have the right design for the gearboxes and also for the direct drive, and we have been doing very well in the wind in last 2-3 years and intend to keep on doing well. So I would say the market is growing. It is becoming an important market in India, and it will only grow both in terms of export of gearboxes out of India, and as India gets its act together and starts doing the installation offshore. Onshore, to my experience or my knowledge, would be slow. It will be offshore which will be a game changer.
Thank you for the elaborate answer. That's all from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Devang Shah from Asset C Mehta Investment Intermediates Limited. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Sir, my first question that will you be able to share us your current order book?
You want to, what details of order book?
Sir, railways or, you know, that you are saying value-wise. Can you be able to share?
Value-wise, our sales in the past year. So current data, if I give you, would be bad for business. So I can only say that we are running pretty full, and the order book is pretty full. I won't be able to give you the breakup of the order book. Avshant, you want to give the breakup of the order book and lose your job?
Yeah, we cannot give, these are all internal data, so we cannot give.
Okay. But sir, in a last, you know, con call also you have mentioned, the same way you are saying, you will able to maintain the same run rate as far as your revenue growth is concerned in a coming 2-3 years. That can I understand from your current order?
I can say like this, that currently the demand forecast is pretty healthy. So when I talk that is for next couple of quarters. Now you are saying that next 2-3 years, then you will have to look at India, you will have to look at GDP, and then you will have to see Timken India Limited as a company, are we outgrowing the market, and then you can take the call. But personally, I would say that India GDP between 6 and 7 would remain there for next 2-3 years. We have delivered double-digit CAGR, and we intend to do that and keep on doing more than the market growth. So if that helps your you know, analysis cause, that is what I would say.
Okay. And so second question, whenever as you are saying, you may have orders, as you are saying, but in your order book, you have a price escalation clause also, sir? Because, you know, volatility, raw material price, how the, you know, business works in this particular area, that I wanted to understand, due to, you know, just protect yourself from a raw material price, any kind of, you know, escalation.
Yeah. So, you know, there are different kinds of businesses. When you are dealing with OE, we have metal escalation clauses. So that is very much in place. In distribution, we always work on, you know, increasing the prices as the commodity prices or other prices go up. But there are some businesses which are tender-based. So on tender-based businesses, you cannot change. You can get clauses on currency, but you cannot get clauses much on the material changes. So there you will, as a business, we'll have to kind of predict and forecast and quote. But largely in last two, three years, because of the volatility of the metal market, so those clauses more or less is in place. So steel guys have those clauses with, say, the OE truck builders, and truck builders generally have it with their suppliers. Now, still after having the clauses, in India is always a battle to get it all in place. That's where the clauses. But yes, generally, we'll have clauses with almost all the companies.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir.
But you know, the Indian buying, he will still weep and sleep and then weep further and then give.
Yes, sir.
This you should not recall, you just for your understanding.
Yeah, yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vimal Gohil from Alchemy Capital Management Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the follow-up. Just wanted to know, what are your CapEx plans in absolute terms for FY 2024? How much would be greenfield, and what is going for the new plants or the CRBA new plants? If you could just give us a split.
So the for the greenfield, which is the CRB, SRB plant, we had announced a CapEx of, Avishan, what was the exact amount? 600 crore, I think, we announced that.
600 crore over the period of next 2 years.
Over 2 years. So you can take that, 300 each year or maybe 400, 200. So 600 is for the greenfield CRB, SRB. Other than that, the normal enhancement in our current plant in Jamshedpur, which we keep on doing, which is not a great sum. So that keeps on doing, 5%-10%, generally, that is happening. So but this, 600 crore over 2 years is the major CapEx, for us, this year and next year.
Sure, sir. And sir, you mentioned that both the plants are existing plants are running at full capacity. Sir, if would that be some sort of hindrance in terms of, you know, targeting the double-digit growth that we are talking about, especially when you are, you know, looking at very good opportunities within something like railways, M&HCV is also doing well. So, do you see capacity as some sort of a hindrance, or you will be able to manage?
No, we can, you know, like the plant which we purchased in Bharuch, the old ABC plant, there's a lot of technology investments which we are doing continuously in that, so that the productivity becomes up. We are doing a lot of process automation, so it is, you know, it is becoming a different plant by the day. And then there is a lot of insource, outsource combination work and things like that. So I don't see an immediate need to kind of, you know, it won't be a deterrent, and if we see this is a deterrent to growth, then it makes a great case to invest. So we are still not at that point. We want to leverage each asset and each investment to the hilt, and only post that to the direct question of no hindrance.
So, sir, do you add more shifts to the production, or, you know, how exactly will growth come when we are running at full capacity? Do you add more shifts or?
There are many ways, you know. At the end of the day, you need to produce more number of pieces, and there are many ways to do that. I think it will take a lot of time to explain that. There are many ways to do in the existing capacity, you yourself said, using more shifts, using more crew. Then also, there are many things which can be done. Say, for example, if you have to, say, grind 500 microns, how do you grind the first 300 on a side asset and then on the main asset, 200? So there are many ways to increase, and we continuously keep on doing that. And when that flex point comes for new investments or augmenting more lines, then we do that. And certainly, in this era, when there is a lot of automation happening, that itself is helping because of productivity.
Understood, sir. Thank you very much once again, and wishing you the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sandeep from JN Financial. Please go ahead.
Yes, I had a couple of follow-up questions. First is on the wind market. The commentary that we had been hearing from some other players is due to the entire Russia-Ukraine crisis and some sanctions, there is a big dip in the number of wind gearbox supplies, which is kind of impacting the demand for all the bearing companies here in India. So if you could share some of the thoughts on that and give some more clarity exactly what are these sanctions and how are they impacting the demand in the term.
If you could repeat, you said that because of the Russia-Ukraine war, there was less utilization of gearboxes?
Yeah. So the demand is down, and some part of it is also pertaining to the sanctions on some of the companies. So we have seen your peer group companies reporting a big decline in the wind energy bearing supplies, what they are doing to the companies overall. So how is that at play for Timken?
Here I am, Timken India Limited. For example, if there is a European company in Europe which has to produce gearboxes in Europe and his steel was coming out of Belarus or Ukraine, then obviously they are impacted. But for Timken India Limited and our peer group, looking at the Indian market, Ukraine war, obviously, there would be some impacts. But to the gearbox market out of India, I personally have not seen that. Now Ukraine was not a big market for wind market or gearboxes. Definitely steel was coming out of Ukraine, steel was coming out of Belarus, steel was coming out of Russia, but alternate steel supply chains have been energized. So there may be some companies might feeling it be impact differently. Timken is not, Timken company even globally, have great supply chains which are risk mitigated. They have gone to the primary to secondary supply chain. For India, for Timken India Limited, I don't see the impact.
Got it. Understood. And second question was on this ABC Bearings Bharuch plant that we had acquired. You have done a lot of BG at this plant over the years. The past you mentioned from an agri-related portfolio was shifted here. It was qualified for Timken Circle R, so exports had jumped up or started getting built up at this plant. So if you could just walk us through where we are in that entire capacity build-up stage. It was 160, 170 crore top line company when you had acquired. How you have scaled up, how the product profile has changed, and what is the export domestic mix for this plant now? If you could just give me a brief walkthrough, that would really help.
So when we acquired the plant in August 2018, it was only producing that was ABC design. And then it took us more than a year to invest and get it, more than a year actually to get it to Timken Circle R level. Then we had to, obviously introduce a new design because ABC fundamentally design was inferior to the grand scheme of things. It was a Japanese design. So we have currently implemented all the changes and we are currently in the process of further enhancing those capabilities, and we are producing Timken Circle R out of that plant, and it is getting exported. It is getting exported to America and to Europe as well. And at the same time, the old ABC brand we are still making, and we are giving it to the customers who were buying it before. And what we are not enhancing that much, we are enhancing more Timken Circle R. Currently, we are 50-50 some months, 40-60 some months, 45-55. So 50-50 is Circle R. And that Circle R, which is being produced, is exported and used in India also to our customers in India. And 50% is being produced as ABC. And that goes also to the old customers of ABC. So we are roughly at 50-50-ish.
Understood. And last question is on some of the indigenization that you have spoken about in the past regarding some of the child parts that you were outsourcing or buying out, but you had enhanced the capacity to do some of these child parts internally. which will bring about cost efficiencies. So if you could just elaborate a bit more on that.
Yeah, so, you know, as we said earlier, that cages are indigenized a lot into India, whether it is rail cages or double extended cone or TSO that is done. The child parts majorly, which are the rollers, we have mostly localized it. It can't be 100% because of the volumes and the cost, but majorly those expansions have been done. And you know, some of you guys had the chance to go to Jamshedpur earlier. They would have seen those expansions there. So we are more or less expanded on those child parts and on cages, forgings, turning. You know, we have you know, now a very nice 25-30-year-old supply chain in place.
All right, sir. Thank you so much for taking this question.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Devang Shah from SHC Mehta Investment Intermediates Limited. Please go ahead.
Sir, one thing that we are seeing that there is a rise in other income in this particular financial year. If we compare with a normal practice you have, so, you know, can you just say what it is related to, and it is something for this year only?
Yeah, this is this other income is one of, this is the investment which we had done in Jamshedpur. So this was the government incentive. That is the other income majorly. But I will ask Mr. Ushant, our CFO, to add more light to it.
Yeah, exactly. You are right. And if you see in our September quarter, we had also given a note on our results in the financials that this other income is pertaining to the incentive, so which we have received this year.
Okay, so this is related to this year, and this
that,
is
that's around 7 to 7.5. The 7.5 crores was the amount. So if you remove that, then it will be almost at par with the previous years. Only with the volume of export and other things increasing, the other income pertaining to exports also goes up.
That is related to currency?
No. See, the other income is basically my DBK and RODTP.
Okay.
So if my export volume goes up, those will also go. So the everything is normal. Except, but RODTP, you know, from the MIS of 3%, what we were getting, it has come down to 1%. So now it is going exactly the same way for last almost 17-18 months. But other than that, everything is normal except Jharkhand incentive, which was 1.5 crores. This was additional in current year.
Okay. And one more thing. Generally, we have seen that you have a certain portion of the investment that generally I believe that you are investing from your cash. So I am asking, what is the practice of the company? Generally, don't want to keep a cash, and certain portion is generally you are investing, and you know how it is going to be a forward also.
See, if I have got a cash.
Pardon.
Yes, okay. So, you know, the general strategic direction is that, you know, we want to leverage the cash for, you know, more growth. And if you see some investments of the cash, is always short term. The major focus is this cash is going to be utilized for more growth. So the intent is not to earn interest. Interest is to invest it. So these are always in, you know, short term, 3 month kind of stuff, so that whenever we need anything for investment, that is, you know, we are debt free, and we generate cash and we invest, and that is the general direction. So the treasury always would like to keep, if the cash is there, they would like to invest in short term ways. But the whole idea is the money should be invested for growth. Avishant, you can add more point.
Yeah, we whatever we are investing because all this money will be required for the capex in the current year as well as next year. So additional money, whatever we are having, we are investing in the short term, mostly in the liquid funds. And with the, just to split our risk, we are also putting it in the FDs with the bank. So we are not looking for the returns, rather we are looking more for the safety and security of those investments.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you.
Okay. We can take the last question, if any.
Yes, thank you. The last question is from the line of Mukesh Saraf. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I just had a couple of questions. So firstly, on the market shares in the domestic business, say railways, CVs, etc., could you give some sense, starting with railways, because there we do keep hearing about a lot of competition. So any directional sense or numbers you can give on the market shares in FY23?
Yeah, competition, not only rail, we have competition everywhere. So, there is nothing unique in competition. In our truck business, we have competition. In our distribution, we have competition. In process, we have competition.
Sure.
Competition is not new. So, our whole strategy is to keep on winning. And to keep on winning, you need elements of cost, you need elements of design, and you need elements of speed to the market, and you need other. So, competition is not only in rail, they are everywhere. So this is going to be like that globally and India also, and intent is keep on winning in the marketplace, so.
But any sense on market share you can give, sir, say, on railways or CVs, where we stand right now? Probably how it was, say, a couple of years back and how it's now.
So, railways, we are the market leaders on papers, and
sure.
Others are market leaders on SRB and CRB, and when we start producing here, then the on commercial vehicles, differential premium, certainly Timken is market leader on papers. On wheel end, we are not the market leaders. So, but if you want exact percentage, I don't have it off my mind.
Sure.
I can to you.
Sure, so that's okay. And second question, sir, in terms of the revenues that we've done this quarter, 800 odd crores, should we assume that most of the raw material impact, any of the contracts, all of them that had to be kind of passed through, renewals, etc., all that have been done now, and this is like a stable kind of revenues?
So, what I would say is that on passing the cost, it has to now become, India has to become like Europe and America. It would be now a regular affair to pass on any cost so that our margins don't get eroded. The industry is tilting towards that, not only alloy, energy cost, extract
Sure.
plugged into it. So this endeavor will be on while we have got, price pass on because of cost escalation. But this game will be now not a one-time game, it will be a continuous game. And the industry also understands it. And that is why you see also the end consumer prices also, starts going up. And as I said, the order book for next couple of quarter looks pretty healthy. And we are pretty much well entrenched on all fronts currently.
Right. So basically, there's nothing pending in terms of pass-throughs. They've all come through, is what you see.
Nothing major, but
okay.
But
Sure. Sure, sir. That's about it, sir, from my side. Thank you, Selvin. I think we can close the call here.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That we are at five. Yeah. So thank you, everybody. As usual, we learn a lot from this question, so thanks a lot. Thanks, Mukesh, for setting it up for us. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. On behalf of Avendus Spark, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.